I think the idea that this trade has, I'll put it this way, quote unquote, been in the works for a long time, there's some sense of exaggeration to that, I think, by the media. GMs, assistant GMs, that you're talking to always to your contemporaries about certain players. The idea that this has been trade has been close to happening for months on end probably isn't accurate, is it?
Well, I don't know about close. It has been in discussion. I think both GMs made that clear.
Yeah.
But so many different things have to come into play for something to work. And this was maybe a strange year because of the lockout and the compression. So while you were having discussions through the fall, we didn't even know if there was going to be a season through the fall. So the timing of that was strange. And then when it started, everybody wanted to see exactly, you know, how their team was going to start, what it was going to look like. And then I believe their starting goalie got hurt fairly early. And so, you know, that might have changed the complexion as well. But he's a player we've been interested in, you know, for a period of time. And it takes time, though, for these things to happen. There's a lot of moving parts.
Dave, what was it about Bernier's game and style of play that ultimately decided you guys had to have him?
Well, I think it's his pedigree back through junior, is well known here in Canada with the World Juniors. And, you know, you look for that second layer in a team. So when our pro scouts go out to watch a game, they don't put a report in on every player that they watch every night, but they try and see a team. So, for instance, if a team has three terrific right wings, who's the fourth one? Is he somewhere in their minor league system and there's simply not a place for him up top? So it's different layers that you're looking at. You know, the easiest thing to do is watch the best player on the ice. The hardest thing to do is watch a player with potential who may not be getting a great opportunity because somebody that much better or that much of a premier player in the league is ahead of him. And I think that's the case here with Jonathan, where Jonathan Quick was ahead of him. But who's to say, you know, if given the exact opposite scenario, it's not reversed.
Dave Poulin's kind enough to join us. I know Dave Nonis yesterday in his conference call listening in suggested it's not, you know, indictment's a strong word of James Reimer's play, but is it not a strong suggestion that not yet, maybe someday, but not yet, is James Reimer an elite NHL goalie yet?
I don't think that's the case at all. And I laughed when I heard what Noni said about that yesterday, because he said, you know, you get criticized for not being deep enough or strong enough at a position, and immediately with one turn, you're criticized for being too deep or too strong at one position. And it's kind of comical, really, but we feel we've got two young goaltenders, like-age goaltenders, and I think it stays exactly with the theme that Davey has talked about, and that's if we're making a trade, we're trading for a like asset in age-wise, a young player, you know, similar to the JVR deal that we made, you know, when that decision was made that a young player was coming in. So we've traded for a young goalie. We've strengthened our position, I think, at that position. We've strengthened our depth at that position. And let's let them run out there. You know, that's the beauty of this, is the players are going to decide what happens there. Nobody has to decide who the starting goalie is in day one. The players will decide that.
Totally true. It is an oddity, I think, especially in a cap world, to acquire a goalie in essence the exact same age as the other goalie. Usually you're either going younger with a guy that's more prospect, usually that's self-developed through the organization, or you're going and getting an older veteran player. Hey, listen, it's nice to have the option that one of these guys may ascend to superstardom, and or both do, and then you've got an extra asset. But it is unusual to have both goalies be the same age, isn't it?
Well, it might be, unless it's almost like this age is the critical window, maybe,
right,
you know, 23 to 26, where their contracts don't dictate that you can't have them together, and their inexperience don't dictate that you can't have them together. So you couldn't have two guys in the first or second year of their entry-level deals who fit from a cap standpoint, but you also couldn't have two, you know, 32-year-olds who are both making enormous money at that exact moment. So I think this age window is the one where it can fit.
And Dave Nonis made it clear yesterday he expects the organization to make at least a couple more moves between now and July the 5th. How different will the team look come September?
Well, that depends on how this all shakes out, but there's a sort of a rare window here, guys. If you look right now, you have this amnesty buyout period that extends for 48 hours after the final game. So let's assume this series goes 7, and the game ends at 11 p.m. on Wednesday night, and the Stanley Cup winner is declared, and then you have a 48-hour window of a buyout for amnesty buyouts. So no one knows exactly what's going to happen with that window. So that 48 hours takes you to late Friday night. Now everybody's in New Jersey. Now you have the draft at 2:30 on Sunday. Now you have another piece that's factoring into that. What players were bought out? What players may all of a sudden be available to you that you had no idea were going to be bought out? Then you work through the draft. Does that change who does what in the draft? Does that change a team's willingness to maybe make a trade at that point that they weren't thinking about because someone else was available? Now move forward from the 30th of June, free agency on the 5th. For the first time in the 3rd and 4th, you're allowed to talk to the UFAs. So you have now, over the next, if you picture what could happen between Wednesday night and July 5th at noon, there's some exterior factors here that have never been in play before.
Yeah, that, it's going to be fascinating. Not just, yeah, the amnesty buyout and the short time between the end of the final and the draft to that. You guys have a lot
and
of...
And the one-day draft.
Yeah, it's... I know, yeah.
The one-day draft.
When do you sleep?
The RFA...
Hopefully not for about 10 days.
Yeah, until after July 5th. The RFAs are fascinating, too, though. You know, interiorly, on an interior level, I should say, what can you tell us about work on guys like Gunnarsson and Kadri and Franzen and obviously getting the right price for them, but also having the security knowing they are Maple Leafs for foreseeable future?
Well, the RFA essentially dictates that unless an unknown offer sheet were to come in, but you do control the player's rights at this point. And if you think that no one sleeps during this period, you'd have to talk to Claude Loisel because there's no way he sleeps during this period. Mm-hmm. His conversations with agents are ongoing. He's the point person in our group that deals with the agents for the most part. You know, we all do at various points, but he is really the focal and point person for the contract negotiations. And his days are absolutely full right now. And I'm always amused when the season ends and everybody says, oh, wow, how's your summer going? And you just look at them and go, you know what, guys? It's not really summer yet. And this is a really busy time for Claude. And, you know, he has ongoing conversations with all of the players, agents that you mentioned.
How much interest is there for you, Dave, in the organization of moving up in the draft on Sunday?
Well, that's an intrigue and an interest. You know, obviously there's ledges that we build, and Dave Morrison will build and has built ledges. And a ledge would be a position where if a player in this grouping of four slips below this ledge, then we have an instant interest in moving up. If this player, you know, below this ledge may be at 8 or 9. So there's different ledges, and we group players into those categories. And so it's constant and ongoing as the draft is going on. You're not saying, okay, if that player is available. You're saying if that player is available at that point, then we have an interest level. And, you know, the phones are burning through that time a lot more than you would think about teams. You'll get a call and say, would you be interested in? And it happens very quickly. And this year in a one-day draft, it's going to happen even faster.